This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Feel good Friday after opening day. Not normally do I take an overnight caller's opinion when I'm driving in and think maybe they had a point. But this one was interesting to me, and this is one of those many times where I have to defer to the man in the arena and the guy who is standing out there and might have been the best guy on the team and had to deal with guys that he didn't think were as good as him. So this is an interesting one. Last year, Juan Soto had who next to him in the lineup?
Aaron Judge.
Okay.
Yes.
Last year, Pete Alonso had a down year. Yes? Down
year. Yeah.
All right. The year prior to Juan Soto playing with Aaron Judge, he had Manny Machado behind him in the lineup. So this old school baseball guy calls up. Now, I'm not saying I totally agree with him or not. I just wanted to present this to you. He called up and said, I think Juan Soto didn't want to walk and put the game in the hands of Pete Alonso in that situation for two reasons. One, he's got the pressure on him to be the man. And two, he doesn't believe in him in the way that he believed in Manny Machado and Aaron Judge. And he ended up swinging at pitches he doesn't normally swing at because he thought he needed to. So it's interesting. And after the game, by the way, this is a part of the story too. After the game, Juan Soto came out straight ahead and said he was totally fine taking a walk in that situation because Pete Alonso is behind him and he's a home run hitter. But that doesn't necessarily mean what he's saying after the game is what he's thinking in the box.
Oh man, we are going deep into this one. I mean,
it's interesting to me from the standpoint of, is that even a possibility? Because you had been on teams like the New York Jets where you came here and you might have tried to do more than you needed to because you didn't trust your teammates all along. I'm just wondering, is that even a thing that athletes think about when they're one of the best player on a team?
If for some reason Pete Alonso wasn't behind him, and maybe it was Senger, right, the catcher,
yeah, right,
I could see that. I can understand that. I think it's the former as opposed to the latter. The former meaning that he wanted to be the hero, that he wanted to come through in a big spot. And I think that clouded his judgment. I could see that part of it.
Okay.
I don't see Juan Soto thinking that Pete Alonso is not going to come through. I do not see that part of it. As a matter of fact, a lot of times we talk about athletes who take the last shot, want to take the last shot, and we always talk about Michael Jordan wanting the last shot or Larry Bird wanting the last shot, but then again, LeBron James passing it off to a teammate because maybe he doesn't want the last shot, or maybe just LeBron's a good teammate and he wants to throw it to the open guy and let the guy make the last shot like he should because he gets paid to do that.
Yeah.
So I look at this and I say Juan Soto got off to a good start. He got off to a really good start, but in this big spot in the ninth inning, he wanted to be the man. I could totally get on board with that, but not because Pete Alonso was behind him, but because he signed a $750 million contract and he wanted to go up there and he wanted to have the hit of the year to start the year.
Right. You know, I do think, though, that once again, if you know that you're going to hit, then swing at the ball that's right over the plate that's hanging there. That's just the one thing.
Well,
you know,
that also tells me by not swinging at that pitch that he's thinking, you know, I'm going to do what normal baseball people do in this situation. The guy's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give him a break, and I'm going to take a pitch at 3-0, and I may work out a walk. So that tells me, again, that he's thinking like this is what I should be doing in this particular situation. I'm going to take the pitch, and if I walk, I walk. But now, once that strike is thrown, things have changed.
Sure. Yeah.
And even Keith and Ronnie were talking about it, and he wants to be the hero, and he unfortunately got fooled by a slider in the dirt that was a ball 50 or 20 feet or 10 feet prior to even arriving at home plate. I think we all saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But it was fun to see him out there. It's fun to see the Soto shuffle in a Mets uniform. It's fun to see him get on base, even though I didn't see because of MLB streaming him get that single. You just know he's going to be on base all the time. And it's going to be rare.
He was on base three times yesterday.
Yeah, it's going to be rare to see him flailing at pitches like that. Well, didn't really flail because it was a check swing, but pitches like that, 3-2 in situations like that. So, but yeah, it was annoying the first week.
I would say this, if you are playing with a player that you want to help, like a young player, like say an Acuna Jr., I think that, you know, Juan Soto can have a great impact on that kid. And just talking to him every day, just keeping him focused, keeping him, you know, involved. It was nice to see Brett Beatty rooting for Acuna Jr. there in the ninth inning. That was great to see. So the team is together, it looks like. It doesn't look like there's any frayed edges. So it's one game, it's one situation, and I wouldn't make too big of a deal of it.
Yeah, I mean, and no, but this is what we've got from yesterday. After an entire offseason, you get to see the guys in a game that matters. So you want to talk about it. But, you know, Acuna's an interesting player to me because the stuff that, and I don't know if it was the day, it was Monday that this was, or a day that you were here with Francisco Lindor's comments on Acuna about how he's not focused in games that he doesn't believe matters, and that's something that he's got to work on, came flat out. Francisco Lindor is like, listen.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
Yeah, so, like, and that, I mean, that was interesting. And then just to kind of see him, and then once that throwing error happened, I've got such high expectations from him, so I was a little bit disappointed. And then he goes down 0-2 to Hader in the ninth, and I'm like, oh, man, this guy's going to strike out on three pitches after this. And then he has that at-bat. I'm like, okay, he's back. He's good.
Yeah, I mean, that was good. I mean, that was a great at-bat. But then again, Francisco Lindor is one of those players that he is the leader. He can say those things, albeit he has to say it, you know, I think a little bit better than that. But it probably had an impact on Luis, and hopefully that's going to be the case. You know, so the Mets are going to have this situation at second base, and they're also going to have the situation in center field. It's either going to be Taylor or Siri, Taylor or Siri, Taylor or Siri, and they're going to go be back and forth. So those two positions are going to be, I don't want to say unsettled, but they will be shared until somebody actually steps up and takes the position, if in fact that can happen this year.
Yeah, and it's good, and both of them are very, very good defenders, so it's not going to be about that. It's going to be which one of those guys is hitting more. That's what it's going to come down to. And because that they had, the Mets have decided that position, they're going to take whatever they can offensively from it, and they're going to have a great defensive center fielder.
I was thinking yesterday, I was going to text Ronnie. I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
I said, Ronnie, you said 850 runs and 150 RBIs for Pete Alonso. We're not off to a good start.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that, too. I know. I know. 850 runs. If they got shut out, that was going to be, I was waiting for you to actually put that out on X. and like tag
I didn't
him.
Want to do. I would never do that. But I mean, like I would text Ronnie that though.
Yeah, I know. But
I want to give it 20 games before I get haywire here.
You're I'm a 20 games
guy. I'm not going to go Rico Bronya on you after one game.
No. I don't think that is what. That's what we're doing here. But yeah, I mean, it's when Ronnie comes out and says that, if you're going to get the jab in, you got that type of relationship with Ronnie, that's the time to do it.
Well, I'm going to give it 20 games.
Do you text Keith too?
Yeah.
Who
gets
doesn't
more? Get back to me as much. He's a little bit scatterbrained sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the texting back and forth.
So Ronnie gets more texts because he's more receptive to them?
Yeah, 100% receptive, and right in the middle of the inning, I'll get something from him.
So. Oh, wow. Yeah, I bet you Gary doesn't like to hear that.
He knows I'm watching.
I bet you Gary's like, oh, God. I mean, here goes Ronnie again texting during the game. I mean,
well, he knows who he's texting with.
I mean, come on. Do you think Gary Cohen likes you or doesn't like you?
I think he likes me.
When was the last time you had a conversation with Gary Cohen?
I don't know. I don't think I ever have.
Right?
I don't think I've ever had.
Yeah.
I've had it, but, you know, through those guys.
Like, tell Gary to...
No, I never say that, because Gary's the ultimate professional.
I would agree with that.
That's
yeah.
why, you know, the fact that, you know, he's a serious broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
There's no gimmicky crap with him. And he's learned over 20 years to play the game with these two guys.
Yeah, he knows exactly what to do.
And that's why he's as good as he is, and that's why collectively they're as good as they are together.
Yeah, and by the way, they showed a lot of pictures because it was their 20th year, the beginning of their 20th season together. Gary, Keith, and Ron of them back in 2006 as opposed to the way they look now. And Gary looks essentially the same. I mean, in the 20 years, he looks... almost the same.
You know who's like that? You know who's definitely like that? That was Chernoff. Chernoff hadn't changed a bit over the years since I met him in 1993 when I first got here.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Yeah, there are pictures, though. He changed dramatically at one point in his life and then stayed there forever. Because there, have you ever seen the fat Mark
right.
Chernoff?
I never saw the fat guy, but he was...
It's so funny. You've seen those pictures with the mustache?
The mustache. I haven't seen those.
Oh, it's so funny.
Then he took up running and everything else.
And then he stayed the same. Yeah, but Gary, so like Ronnie looks so much younger in those pictures. Obviously, it's 20 years, but he looks so much younger. I mean, he looks like, I don't even know, how old was he at that point? I don't think he was in his, he probably was in his 40s still, I would think, Ronnie at that point. Early 40s, right?
20 years ago, yeah. So, yeah, that's when I started here.
Yeah, so he's
so probably. I started in 07 here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was 46 when I started here.
Yeah, so Ronnie might have been a little bit younger in that.
They started in 06 together.
06, yep. But and then Keith obviously is much more gray than he was. But then Gary's just, he's like Benjamin Button, this guy. It's unbelievable. Let's go to Tony in West Haven. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just thought it was weird yesterday that Yes Network doesn't cover their opening day that they sold the game to ESPN?
Well, they didn't. Yes Network didn't sell the game to ESPN.
Not sell it, but I mean Major League Baseball, in effect. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that it's the last year of ESPN and Major League Baseball. Joe Buck came back. If you think about the biggest draw during the day like that at 3 o'clock, it's going to be the New York Yankees. So I don't think that was a bad decision by Major League Baseball and ESPN. I mean, and you're going to get 10 million Yes Network games throughout the year. So I didn't look at it like that. I just thought it was like a special opening day thing. And then, you know, Joe Buck's there and they bring him back with the Yankee game. So he did, by the way, Joe Buck did see you on the Austin Wells home run. Do you think that he was paying homage to Michael Kay, or you think that he did it just out of, like, that's what you would say with a home run?
No,
you think he was,
no,
Eddie, you're saying?
Definitely giving homage to Michael Kay, 100%.
Okay.
And to the Yankee fan. Like, that's what the Yankee fan is used to hearing.
Sure.
So, and believe me, Joe Buck is buttoned up. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And I like Joe Buck. I know people don't. I mean, I really do like the guy. And
yeah.
I liked him calling baseball yesterday again.
Oh, he and Troy are great on football games.
Well, obviously that.
Johnny and Tom's River. Johnny, what's happening?
Hey, boy. It's been a while. How are you guys doing? All right?
What's up, John? Johnny, what's going on?
Good. Listen, man, I get a little joy out of the fact that you had a little bit of problem with your MLB because I cut all ties with all my cable, paying almost $400 a month. Got Gotham Sports thinking, all right, baby, let me stream it. I'll put it on my big screen TV. No game. What the hell was that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's going to be some games that are not on.
So let me ask you a question, John. You don't have ESPN at all?
No, I cut all my channels. I went from 250 channels down to 10 because I saved $100 on my cable bill.
So what about like ESPN Plus and Hulu and Disney? Is that something that you would think about a bundle that's relatively affordable?
Yeah. I mean, eventually I'll probably be back to paying $300 again. It's just the way the world works.
I know, John, you're right about that. But one thing I've learned, though, for me is I can't now, especially with all the golf that I watch, I can't live without ESPN Plus. Like I need that now. So like I would if I were you. I mean, it's, I don't know what it is right now, but I know there's a bundle situation. If you get ESPN Plus and all the ESPN Yankee games that are on there, you get them as well. But your point is well taken, John. Yes. Trust me.
They got you buying an app that you can't watch the team you're supposed to be buying the app for.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, and they I don't know if there's something that they could work out. Probably not, because these people don't work well together. These companies don't work well together. But it's like, hey, if we're the Gotham app, we're telling Yankee fans this is how you watch. If you cord cut, this is how you watch the team. But yet when it's a national game, you can't watch it. I mean, is there some sort of deal that they could work out in that sense of like we can put it on the Gotham app when it's a national game and not on
You know, ESPN is paying for the exclusivity of it. That's why they want it. That's why they're paying for it. And that's why they're not going to be paying for it starting next year. So I'm sure some other group will, or they'll keep it on the MLB app. But, you know, I have to say the interface between the two games was very easy yesterday on the app. And I enjoyed it, you know, and, you know, I'm a Bufubo guy that has ESPN.
Yeah.
And has MSG. So, but it doesn't, I do believe it has YES too, I think. So, but the fact is, I was able to watch it on the MLB app, and I was able to watch both games simultaneously, which is great.
Yeah. You know, I saw a clip from Rob Manfred talking on Sirius about the ESPN deal and how upset he was that it broke down. And, you know, his take on it was that he saw ESPN step up for all these other leagues when it came to the rights, and then ESPN came back to them and then wanted, you know, a pay cut situation and less money.
Oh, a pay cut.
Yeah,
wow,
right.
Wow.
So like, you know, essentially using that term, but you know, he framed it, and the way he took it was like, how dare you when we're giving you these type of numbers? Like, we're good in both genders. We're good with Hispanics. We're good. We're up here or there. Like, he wasn't.
Probably said, how could you give the NBA $78 billion and you're not giving us $500 million? Are you out of your mind?
Right. He's probably thinking that. But, I mean, there's got to be a reason for it. I mean,
well, like the NBA ratings have, you know, dropping.
Yeah. And what does that say about baseball then? That it's even worse than that.
Either that, or they just, you know, I don't know what it really says when you really get down
but
to it.
But it wasn't like reflective, or it wasn't like taking any responsibility for it. It was all like all on ESPN, you know, and like they made this horrible decision. Well, they didn't want you for a reason.
Well, because people, it's a local sport. That's basically what it comes down to.
Yes.
And your national teams are basically the Dodgers, the Yankees, maybe the Cubs to a certain extent. The Mets could be that. You know, your southern tier teams, nobody is outside of their local markets. Nobody is driving to go see them.
Exactly. Yep. But it was interesting to hear him. You know, he was candid about it. He was definitely candid
about
it.
But I'll tell you what, it affects his compensation.
Sure, yeah.
In a big way. That's why Roger Goodell does as well as he does, is because this thing keeps growing. And you see they have now 7 international games that are going to go forth here now this coming season for the NFL.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to grow, I'm telling you. They're just going to keep selling and selling and selling.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo Podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on this Feel Good Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Friday after opening day, CeeLo is here to tell us all about that tournament.
and everything else. What's happening, CeeLo?
All right, well, former Yankees closer Clay Holmes turned opening day starter for the Mets. We'll get to them in a couple of minutes. New Yankees closer Devin Williams facing his former team, the Brewers, right out of the gate yesterday. Got himself into some ninth inning trouble with a three-run lead, a run across from Milwaukee already, tying runs on base, and Williams facing Christian Yelich.
Williams with the pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Victory for the New York Yankees in the opener. They beat the Milwaukee Brewers by the count of 4-2 as Devin Williams hangs on in the ninth inning.
That's Dave Sims' final call here on the Fan. It took Williams 36 pitches, but he did K Yelich. And prior to him, Jackson Churio to nail it down. Quite the experience making his Yankees debut and facing his former team all at the same time.
It was different, you know. Like when we did the opening ceremony and everything, you know, looking across and seeing all the faces that I'm familiar with, being on the other side, it was kind of weird for me.
And of course, last we saw him in a game that counted, he was serving up that pivotal home run to Pete Alonso in game 3 of the wild card round series against the Mets last October. In this one, leadoff homer for Austin Wells. First time a catcher has done that in the leadoff spot to begin his season. Anthony Volpe homered as well. Aaron Judge had the RBI double in the 7th with a little deflection off the third base bag into the outfield, which helped his cause. And Cody Bellinger singled and drove in a run with a sac fly, making his Yankees debut. Ended up Susan Starr here on the Fan afterwards.
Oh, so many emotions today. It was insane. And, you know, at the end of the day, I wanted to get a W. You know, embracing the butterflies and the adrenaline and just taking it all in, and feels good to get the win.
Definitely looks the part,
yeah,
in the early going.
I would agree. Also, you mentioned Susan and Dave Sims. I saw Dave, he posts a lot on X.
Yeah.
And Dave took the subway to the game yesterday.
Someone took the pick for him.
That's
very artsy.
Right. Yeah, and it was in black and white,
uh-huh.
Him going to the game. So I wonder, does that continue? Does Dave Sims, as he gets more and more popular amongst Yankee fans and the subway being what the subway is, do you think that this is maybe a trend that does not last for Dave Sims? It's cute to do it for opening day, but, you know, game 75 is Dave Sims doing that.
But did he take car service home? Probably took car. Well, I don't know. I would think car service home. But, going to the game, it's probably the smartest way to get to the game.
Plus, an afternoon game helps a little bit. You know, you're not taking it at nighttime, especially on the way home.
So if they have a, what time they normally start their home game? 6:30, 7?
Yeah, on the way, I think it works because they get to the ballpark in the afternoon.
Yeah,
but the going home part.
At least by 4 o'clock.
Like last night, if he wanted to take the subway home, you know, it's what, 6 o'clock hour, 7 o'clock hour?
I just think about the Bill Cowher Baltimore train situation, man.
Yes.
You're a very popular person either before or after a game in a public setting like that.
It could be a little rough after the game.
Sometimes before, man.
I don't know.
People get all sauced up before the games, too. You know? You never know what you're going to get on that subway.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people, they don't put limits on themselves.
Well, he clearly was traveling with somebody.
Yes.
They took the picture for him.
So yeah, Abby, I would think Abby, his wife.
Perhaps.
First game, bring her along, the whole thing. But he sounded great.
Strength in numbers, you know. Off today. Series resumes tomorrow afternoon. That'll be Max Fried's debut, opposed by now former Yankee Nestor Cortez. All right, now you guys asked about BT and Sal with Aaron. Opened their show at the stadium yesterday. Wanted to know if they called him Booney, right? Well, here was Sal right out of the gate, and he went this direction.
Yankee Stadium for opening day 2025 season about to get underway, and we start with a bang. The skipper of the New York Yankees, Mr. Aaron Boone.
All right, skipper. Okay, how about BT?
Wow. We already gave him the intro. Oh. Now we give him the good hearty official one. The Yankees manager in the house, in person, and in uniform. Like Little League. What's going on, Skip? How you doing today?
Yeah. Oh, exciting day.
So we got Skipper and Skip.
Jesus. What? And now BT's rubbing off on Sal. He would have never said Skipper prior to working with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then BT's like, wow, I'll raise you your Skipper with a Skip.
Yep. And then as they went along, just a few questions in.
You know, Bodie, a lot of Yankee teams are fairly veteran.
The relationship is so tight.
Jesus.
That is crazy.
So Skipper, Skip, Booney.
Yep.
And then, you know, BT feels very comfortable now, even with Aaron right there next to him. So he's getting into the details ahead of this season opener.
All right, I don't want to tell you what to do. I would never do that. But I would suggest what I would do if I was Aaron Boone. I would bat Aaron Judge third. I want to know the logic.
And then he would continue.
Like, why is Judge not hitting third? I don't understand that.
So there you go. And, of course, Boone would give his answer, but we don't need to hear that.
Yeah.
A lot of lefty-righty talk.
Oh, sure.
You know, getting into the weeds.
Boone, Skip.
This is what I would do.
Did he say, did they talk about all the fannies that Aaron Judge has and the punchies that he has in
they
the
might
postseason?
Have. I was just, you know, cycling through the first couple of minutes to see what I could dig
little
up
punchies.
There. Punchies.
Oh,
yeah. God. Keith likes punchies.
He says punchies too?
Oh, definitely.
Punchies, fannies.
I've heard Keith say punchies for sure.
Whiff rate.
I don't know that I've heard fannies.
I mean, we got the skipper, the skip, Booney.
Booney, yeah.
I mean, man,
punchies.
Just what I would do. Why don't you do this?
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Man, that is.
This is a relationship that Aaron Boone's going to look back on and say, I got too close.
Kind of like Robert Saleh and Beningo?
Yeah, I got too close to these guys. This was a mistake. This was a wolf in sheep's clothing spot.
This is the same guy that was screaming last year about how they didn't have the right to.
Well, that was Cashman.
And that's more than last year. That's a couple,
Was that
years
a couple
ago.
Years ago?
Yeah.
That's a couple years ago now?
I'm pretty sure it was 2023.
Before BT and Sal. That was Tiki and Tierney that he did that. Earn the right.
Rebuild
this team in the way it needs to be rebuilt.
Anyway, in Houston, we played the radio call last hour. Juan Soto at the plate in a pivotal spot and facing Josh Hader with the game on the line. Top of the ninth, Mets Astros. Here was Gary Cohen on SNY.
Cunha will run from first. And Soto chases a slider, strike three, and the Astros beat the Mets on opening day.
So
Juan Soto!
You stink.
We did air Evan already telling him he needs to wake up. Let's go, Juan. Wake up. Can't be chasing sliders in the dirt there in the righty batter's box in game one. I was talking to Fleegs off the air. He had more of an issue with the 3-1 swing and chase.
With the fastball out of the zone?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had a bigger issue with the fact that if you're going to swing in this at bat and he hangs a slider right down the middle and 3-0, why don't you swing at it? You're not going to get a better pitch.
Fair enough.
But whatever. There's going to be times he succeeds. There's going to be times he fails.
For sure.
But this was annoying. I'm sorry. Like, it was game one, and it was annoying.
Yeah.
And it was also annoying that Brandon Nimmo didn't come through in the eighth, and that you had the Whole Foods kid who didn't come up big either. That would have been that was a Disney moment, Disney movie moment there for that guy, and he strikes out swinging.
Against Josh Hader.
Okay, fine. But you're on the roster. Like, it's cute for a little bit, but you're up there in a big spot in a situation where you could tie the game and or take the lead.
Storybook spot.
This is the Mets. We don't have storybook.
They did last year.
Yeah, you can't. Last year,
everything was storybook.
How can you say that off
of
last season?
Last year, I guess you could say Pete Alonso had a storybook home run in the playoffs, of course.
Lindor in the final game of the regular season.
Yeah, but again, those guys are veterans. Those guys should have those moments.
Biantos is not a veteran?
How about Jose Iglesias?
This guy was working at Whole Foods, for God's sake.
Whole Foods is getting a lot of play
Disney
today.
Moment,
yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, you're not going to get it.
I mean, but they even were setting it up on a broadcast.
Hell
of an opportunity in your first major league at bat.
And you struck out.
Yeah, and a punchy.
A lot of strikeouts in
baseball. But I'm just telling you that give me the last time, and I'm sure there has been, I'm just wondering the last time where a rookie had that moment like that for the Mets that went on to become really good.
I mean, Mark Vientos was a rookie last year. He had a million of those moments.
I'm going to defer to the Met fan.
Yeah, but Mark Vientos doesn't have the story like he was working at Whole Foods.
So now you're being very specific.
Yeah. Well, saying, journeymen that worked at Whole Foods?
But
they don't. You generally show up as how old is this guy?
29?
Yeah, 29-year-old rookie who then becomes a big...
That's the kind of guy I'm talking about, a rookie journeyman.
But you also then said goes on to become a really good player. That's a lot of specifics there.
Listen, I stand by the first thing that came out of my mouth this morning. I felt like there were three opportunities that last year that I was told could happen as a Mets fan did not happen in this first game.
Okay.
And that was Nimmo in the eighth. It was Whole Foods in the ninth, and it was Juan Soto in the ninth as well.
Can we call him Whole Foods all year?
Yes.
As long as
yes,
forever, how long he's actually here? Yeah.
I mean, well, he'll be here until Francisco Alvarez
gets
back.
Yes.
I mean, this guy, you could see him on the on-deck circles. He's like trying to breathe.
Hyperventilating.
You can imagine the pressure intensity.
Yeah, I could because I'm essentially like...
He's probably sitting there the same guy. God, I can't believe that I'm doing this.
Why am I on this team, for God's sakes? Jesus.
A little different for Soto, who had the same result against Hader to end the game. You referenced this, I think, last segment. about him going up there, 3-0 count, that spot in the game, Alonso behind him, and this is a theme that's followed Soto around, not always looking to take an at-bat into his own hands.
I don't mind taking a walk right there. You know, it's Pete behind me, and he's a really good power hitter, so I think we have a better chance right there, lefty-righty matchup. He just got me in that situation.
He did, on both the 3-1 pitch and the 3-2 pitch. Here was Carlos Mendoza, his view on that at-bat.
I thought he had some good at-bats today, even on that one. You know, he got it 3-0. And then 3-1, like I said, that pitch that he got there just missed it. And then, you know, pretty good pitch, but he'll come through.
But he did single his first time up. He walked a couple of times, so he was on base throughout. Game two of that series tonight at 8:10, Tyler McGill opposed by Hunter Brown. NCAA tournament, Texas Tech on the ropes against John Calipari's Arkansas squad. Rallied back, got a late three to force overtime, and then escaped the Razorbacks in the extra session.
Here comes Wagner up the right side. 3 seconds left. Wagner driving right, behind his back. Launches a 20-footer for the tie. No! It's over! Texas Tech has won! Texas Tech is going to the Elite Eight! The Red Raiders back from the dead!
That's Ryan Radke, Westwood One, NCAA Radio Network, 85-83, the final in OT. So they will next face one seed Florida as the Gators beat Maryland 87-71. So the Terps are done. What do you got?
Hispanic Mike Francesa was in the background of that clip.
Hispanic Mike Francesa.
100%.
Can we roll that back there, CBS Sports Network?
You'll see him. You'll pick him out. You'll know it immediately.
Okay.
You'll see when it goes to slow motion.
Yeah.
He is there.
We're seeing the final attempt here by Arkansas. The shot goes up.
And he's right there. And here he is, right to the left, right there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
The hair and glasses.
The hair, the glasses,
sure.
The square head, everything.
Maybe we can get a freeze frame on that at some point. Not that I'm trying to give those guys extra work to do.
Was that not just uncanny?
Yeah.
Holy hell.
By the way, you guys were tagged in it, I think. Did you see Mike out on the streets? Someone doing a little, trying to interview him, walk and talk. He's posing for selfies. He's signing autographs.
Where?
Just trying to get to somewhere in this Manhattan, it looked like.
Oh, my
goodness.
Check
that out during the break. I think someone asked you to recap that on the air.
I didn't see it.
No, not for this second, but okay. You might get a chuckle out of it during
the
break.
You know the one thing that I have noticed when you are in the update chair?
What, that we bring up Mike a lot? Is that what you're
saying? No, somehow, some way, you end up always getting extra time. I don't know how that is.
Extra time?
Yeah, because, you know, you sat in an extra segment last hour.
No. That was me squeezing in the sports because we had to do 10 minutes on you and McMonagle out front with the parking
spot. Yeah, but you always get extra time.
That's not extra time. That is the time.
Al, does he get extra time? Does he work?
Seems like a lot of extra time.
I mean, I feel like you have a way of weaseling your way into extra time.
Extra time. Meanwhile, I'm supposed to go to 40. It's 39. So technically, I still have a minute left. Would you like to hear from your head coach, Kevin Willard? Or no?
I would. Yeah, I would like to hear from him. Tell us that he doesn't know where he's going when he's actually going to Villanova.
All right. So you think that's a done deal? A lot of chatter, and here's what he had to say post game.
No, I don't. I don't know what I'm doing. I'll just be honest with you. I haven't talked to my agent. I haven't talked.
Yes.
My wife. I made a promise to this team that I was going to just focus on this team, and that's all I've done.
Yeah.
The thing that chaps me about this, and I don't blame him because, you know, players come and go, coaches come and go. It's a new world within the NCAA. This next 10 years is going to be like the wild, wild west, and he has an opportunity to do something at Villanova without having to deal with a football coach or lacrosse coaches or other, you know, sports that, you know, want to be able to give some money to their kids to come to school there. But I also know that there's no AD in place at Maryland. But, my close friends who are really close to the Maryland basketball program, who have raised millions of dollars for the collective initially, and then also to build them a $50 million practice palace for both the men's and women's basketball teams. You know, it seems like, wow, if they went out on a limb to raise that money, put that money in there to keep this coach there. And if he leaves, I can understand why they would be upset. I totally would. But I also understand why he would leave.
Right.
So it's a tough spot for Maryland, and if he does leave, which it looks like he's going to, it's going to be hard to rebuild what they had going on here underneath him over the last 3 years.
Quickly, East Regional Final will be chalk, but heck of a matchup. It'll be Duke and Alabama as the Blue Devils beat Arizona, and Alabama made 25 threes to beat up on BYU. Clippers Nets tonight, covered 720 on the Fan. Knicks at Bucks. The Devils are in Winnipeg, and the Rangers in Anaheim to skate against the Ducks.
Let's go, man. Let's start it tonight.
Yeah, he's looking for, here we go already. They need to win four in a row. They haven't won three in a row since November.
That's true.
Let's maybe win back-to-back.
And by the way, the Anaheim Ducks and the Rangers have the same amount of points.
Yeah.
They're basically the same teams.
Yeah. West is better than the East as far as the points go. So those lesser teams in the West would be equal in the East.
Yes.
There you go.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I will be at the Nutty Irishman in Farmingdale on Saturday, which is now tomorrow, 2 to 5 on a beautiful day. They actually have an outdoor tiki bar as well, as we are raising money for the Boomer Esiason Foundation and Team Dalers, which is Allie's team for the 40-mile NYC bike tour. So it's going to be a big one. I know we got a lot of people that are interested in this and have already bought tickets, and you can do so. It's up there on Venmo. You can just buy them at the door, really. If you're listening to this and want to show up, you can get them at the door. Live music. I'll be behind the bar. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a beautiful day. And as I mentioned, there is an outdoor part of this as well. So all raising money, every single dollar goes to Boomer Esiason Foundation for the 40-mile bike tour, everybody is just trying to one-up each other, which is a really good thing to try to raise money for this. And this will be one of two of my... I mean, it seems like we've got our own... You had the bike tour, now we have the guest bartending tour around everywhere.
Actually worked out pretty well.
It's been awesome, and everyone's been a huge success, and I expect this one to be a huge success as well in Farmingdale at the Nutty Irishman, 2 to 5 tomorrow. You had a great one. Huntington, CeeLo's working on one. Al's got one down in Bradley Beach. I got another one at the Portly Villager in April, so this is awesome. Everybody's out in the streets working their ass off for
the
big guy.
They are, and I appreciate it very, very much, and so does the CF community.
All right, so here I wanted to show you. I finally brought him in.
Oh, there you go. What are these?
These are my brand new. This is my gift from CBS Sports. My brand new CBS Sports sneakers.
Let me see.
Look at these bad boys. That ain't not.
Oh, they're nice.
Top of the line. I mean, rocking these things around, people are going to be like, whoa, where'd you get them?
Celebrity. You should wear these on Saturday.
You know what I was thinking about? I didn't want to get them dirty, though, behind the bar. You know, all that stuff and junk and
gunk.
Yeah,
you can wipe these off pretty good, I think.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Look at that. What did you get? You got, like, mittens or something?
I got mittens and hand warmers.
Mittens and hand warmers?
Yes.
Are you jealous now that you can get these?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I know. I knew you would be.
You know, these are my size, by the way.
Yeah, I know. We share. It's
maybe we can switch. You're a mitten guy.
Not normally. I like fingers on my gloves.
Okay.
Not a big mitten guy. What did you guys get? Either one of you guys get these?
I got a jacket.
Oh, you got a jacket. Yeah. See, a jacket wasn't available for me. Wow, you got a jacket.
See, I don't think sneakers were available for me.
Yeah, I got to it late, so... I wonder, like, they definitely do level of employee as well. I don't even remember mittens. What about you, Eddie?
I got the jacket as well, but I got it for the wife.
Oh, look at you. Isn't that great? Yeah, so there they are. Stephen Waldron, what did you get? Did you get these sneakers?
So Stephen's out today, guys.
Oh, but, of course he is. It's a Friday.
Oh, it's Friday, right? He's already starting with that, huh?
He's a four-day.
It's a March Friday for him. You know?
Yeah, so, all right. So what do we have here? Is that Andrew's voice? Or
Yeah.
All right, Andrew. So what did you get from the CBS?
I got the jacket as well.
What does this jacket look like? Someone's got to show me this jacket.
It just seemed like the most expensive item. Like, for me, that's why I chose it.
Yeah, but you also probably chose it because when you wear it out in Bradley Beach and it says CBS Sports on it, like, you think you're a celebrity.
Correct.
People say, hey, you work for CBS Sports?
Right, a couple of kind of.
See, I already have two CBS Sports jackets.
I have a million of them.
I got a blue one, and they're both Super Bowl ones. I got a blue one and then a black one. And I like both of those very much. I probably wouldn't have gotten another one. And by the way, when can you ever get another opportunity to get CBS Sports?
Put them up there, you know,
logo
in honor of
sneakers,
the tournament
and the Masters coming up.
Yeah.
I got to have them facing this way, right? Because you got to see the CBS Sports logo.
Yeah,
The people are just like, why do you have...
those
shoes on your desk.
Exactly.
There you go. They can't have a problem with that, right, Andrew? You guys can't have a problem with CBS Sports sneakers up there on the desk, can you?
I love it. Absolutely love it.
You know what I should do is go get the Vajankle and put the Vajankle right into the sneakers. What do you think about that?
Steve will be back on Monday.
You could
That's actually a great idea. That's what I'm going to go do with the break.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to allow that.
Oh, they will. They only allowed it last time. They just, you know, they could blur it out if they want.
Well, you don't really see anything until you look in, like, into the top of that.
That was a missed opportunity. When I went back there to grab them, I should have grabbed the Vajankles. I wasn't even thinking. I should have grabbed them and brought them out just like that.
We have 2 hours left.
Yeah. All right, very good. Hey, I want to get to Christopher in West Palm Beach. Wants to talk some baseball with us. What's going on, Christopher?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good, Christopher. What's up? What do you got today?
Hey, listen. You know what? Listen, I don't know if you guys remember me. I'm the one that went to prison. My son went to jail.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the whole thing. Didn't you kill a guy?
Yeah, no, I didn't kill nobody.
Oh, did you punch like a guy in the ball?
No, I beat somebody up.
That's right. He didn't kill him. Yeah, right. That was an assault. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Everything's going so well. Like, I got my kid back. He's working hard, and they live with me now, and she's about to get her nursing degree.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so listen, when I'm going to throw up a baseball, there's nobody. I've lived in California for so many damn years in the military. I hate people from Boston and California. Mm. They're two people I can't stand. There's nobody beating the Dodgers this year. Unless something crazy happens, nobody's beating the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, something crazy happens all the time, though, Christopher. You know that. It's baseball. And the Dodgers got it done last year, and they got Shohei Ohtani on the team. But prior to that, they had the best roster in baseball. They had the highest payroll. They were the favorites, and they didn't get it done outside of the COVID year. So, you know, anything could happen, man. I think there's really good teams in the National League that could challenge them. I do think, though, if they get to the World Series, chances are they're going to win it. But no, you can't. It's one of the weirdest sports there is when it comes to that stuff. And you can't just assume that the Dodgers are going to win.
Well, you know, they won yesterday 5-4. And Shohei Ohtani, of course, hits a home run.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, might as well just give him the MVP trophy right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he does what he's supposed to do and what he's expected to do. He's one of the few athletes. There's two athletes, I think, in baseball. I mean, three now. I'll say three. And I don't think there's four, but I think there's three. And I think there's three athletes in baseball.
I think there's three, okay.
Move the needle athletes.
Needle movers?
Yeah, needle movers.
Okay.
And that would be Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
The great Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
And Paul Skeens.
You don't put Soto in there.
No, I don't. I don't think he moves the needle.
What?
I don't.
Oh, boy. You hear Rami out there is already blasting that all over social media. Soto doesn't move the needle. Boomer says Soto's not a needle mover.
I think he's a great baseball player.
He's
but
a
I don't
needle mover.
I think he's a great baseball player. Don't get me wrong. I think they way overpaid for him, but that's their money. That's my team, and I want him to do well, and I want us to win.
When you got three or more teams, franchises, offering that guy over $700 million, that's a needle mover. He moved the needle to that salary.
I was thinking about basketball. Needle movers in basketball. NBA, all time.
Oh, God. Jesus, man. I don't want to do this. All time needle movers? What the hell got into you? I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but like, how much of a needle mover can you be when you're in Pittsburgh? You know?
You're Paul Skeens, you're moving the needle.
Yeah, he definitely is, but I'd still put Soto above that.
I mean, like, you know, when they got Shohei Ohtani, you know, is up at bat, and they have, you know, that little icon in the bottom corner of the TV to let you know that he's up at bat so you can watch it.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm
not disagreeing with that.
That's a needle mover.
Yeah, all right. Well, I would put Soto in there as a needle mover.
You would.
Just because of what happened this offseason.
Like, I think, like, Dan Marino was a needle mover during my tenure. I think that Peyton Manning was a needle mover.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's a needle mover.
Uh-huh.
I do, you know, Patrick Mahomes, definitely.
Needle mover?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, I agree with all the other ones, I would just throw Soto in there. Soto, Judge,
just because he makes $750 million doesn't mean he's a needle mover.
No, he's but you know what?
It's a perspective. Like, I know he's a great baseball player, not a five-tool player.
But he's a needle mover. You don't have to be a five-tool
Aaron
player.
Aaron Judge is a needle mover.
Yeah, but I mean, I agree. I'm not saying
Shohei Ohtani's a needle mover.
I'm not disagreeing with the other needle movers. I'm just adding a needle mover in there.
I think he's just not a needle mover. He's not a home run hitter.
Mm.
He hits for average. He gets on base. Got a great eye. Very disciplined in regards to hitting, except for, you know, swinging at a ball 10 feet outside at the end of the game yesterday. But I'm just I don't know. I think great player, highly paid player, and Steve Cohen paid him for a lot of different reasons. One of those is baseball. The other one has to do with real estate development,
which is a needle mover. If you're signing a guy to help with real estate development, then that's a needle mover.
Well, what you're saying to New York City and you're saying to your fans that I'm willing to spend any amount of money to get the player that you want, that we want, that we think is going to make us better, and I can get my real estate deal done with.
Yeah.
But
so I'm going to sign this needle mover.
If they would have signed Aaron Judge, it would have been a bigger needle mover.
No. Needle movers get this reaction.
Juan Soto. I heard you. Juan Soto. Yeah, you put that in there.
That was like 3 years ago.
Exactly. Needle mover then, bigger needle mover now. And you remember
I thought I wanted him back then more than...